John 14, verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go again unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. I hope that you are enjoying the Lord today. What a wonderful thing to have His presence. And that was the promise of the Lord Jesus to His disciples before His death. On the night of His arrest, He took great lengths. He went to many, many extreme measures to enforce upon the disciples His promise that He would send the Comforter, God the Holy Spirit. And this is very much the forgotten program of God in the Gospel. And we forget it at our peril, and we need to remember that this is the promise of the Lord. And so it is right for every Christian on a daily basis to pray for the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And it is that power of the third person of the Trinity living in the believer's soul that enables us to live the Christian life. Then we walk in the Spirit, then we pray in the Spirit, and then we can witness before the world by the grace and help of God the Holy Spirit. And we must not try to serve the Lord in our own strength. The arm of flesh will fail us, but the power of the Lord by His Spirit is assured and is the guarantee of our success in serving the Lord. Now, we're thankful to be on the air each day at this time, and I hope that you'll stay with us for the message as we move to our pulpit ministry, and we'll be turning to John chapter 14, that blessed book where the Lord revealed and manifested Himself so clearly to His disciples in word and in deed. You'll read in John's Gospel of so many of the miracles of Jesus, but they also lined up with His promises and His teaching. Stay tuned now as we move to our pulpit ministry.
And when you think about it, there's not another religion in the world that even comes close to this. You look at all the other religions in the world and what they suggest and propose and promise, there is nothing like the new nature born again where the Holy Spirit regenerates and constantly dwells to aid, to teach, to guide, to minister power, joy, and gladness in our souls. And so this is really the peak of Christian living. And so I move now to the fact that believers will live better as Christians. We will live better Christian lives. And we're told here in verse 26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now, one of our problems as Christians is that we have very bad memories. We read part of the Bible and we forget it. We read precious truths and we forget them. But when we grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord, and when we live by the help of the Holy Spirit, we are given truth and understanding. Now, we will be Spirit-taught. And you need to pray for that. You need to ask the Lord to teach you by His Spirit, that you be much more than just an historian searching the Bible, much more than just a theologian looking of how to systematically compile truths and doctrines, but that in your own life, the Holy Spirit make you a walking example of truth in action day by day. Now, these disciples, after the Lord departed and after the Holy Spirit descended, they actually understood the things of Christ so much better. There were statements and truths that went right over their heads when the Lord was with them. But later, when the Lord ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit came down, those things came alive. And that happens to the Christian today. There are things that we read, perhaps for the first time or second time or for many times, and then suddenly they come alive. And it is the Spirit of God quickening truth to our souls. And thereby we live as better Christians. Now, preachers plead this when they go to the pulpit. I know I do. Every time I come to this pulpit, I pray that the Spirit of the Lord will bring those things to my remembrance. And even in the pulpit, give me fresh insights and understanding that I might communicate these things from the pulpit. That's the work of the Spirit. And we need to pray for that and seek it all the time. Then also that they will be better witnesses. Better witnesses. We're going to go to chapter 15 and verse 26. And you will see that when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. And so by this indwelling and this presence of God the Holy Spirit, these disciples and all believers in the New Testament will become better witnesses. Oh, how much we need that power in our own lives. How I need to be a better witness in my home, a better witness to my neighbors, a better witness to those I meet day by day, that I might take every opportunity to speak and hold forth the light of the Lord Jesus in my life. Now, the world is in darkness today. And this is the great commission that is given to the church, to the people of God, that we be witnesses for the Lord Jesus. But we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is no excuse. We can be witnesses as we pray and seek the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Now also I will say that they will enjoy better peace. And it says in verse 27, back in chapter 14, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. How does the Lord Jesus communicate his peace, the victory of his peace at the cross, where he purchased peace for sinners? How does the Lord communicate that to my heart and to your heart? Well, it has to be by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit's work to take the things of Christ, testify them, bear witness of them, and apply them to my heart. And it is this wonderful peace that the Lord gives to every trusting every believer that is resting in him. Now, the early Christians certainly had an abundant measure of this marvelous peace of the Lord Jesus in their lives. And I think of the martyrs in the first century that stood in the Colosseum. And as they faced the Roman gladiators, as they faced the lions and the wild beasts in the Colosseum, to the shouts and the mockery of the thousands in the stands of the Colosseum, those feeble Christians, some of them old men, some of them young girls, what did they do? They sang the songs of their faith. They sang the gospel as they were fed to the wild beasts for the entertainment of the wicked Roman citizenry. What a marvelous witness those Christians were. Now, I just read today that in Nigeria, especially in northern Nigeria, there is terrible persecution. And there where Islam is the predominant faith, Christians are dreadfully persecuted. And thousands are being put to death year by year in that land for the gospel. This, I trust, is the ministry of peace in the hearts of God's people. And the Lord can use that witness of his Spirit, that ministry of great peace within each individual soul. Now, I think of people also in the hospital bed, maybe during this coronavirus, and there are those that are put onto ventilators, and they know that their life is on the edge, and they're on the edge of eternity, and they're not sure, even doctors can't assure them that they will make it. What goes through their minds? For the Christian in that situation, the Holy Spirit will come to minister peace. And a believer can rest on the promises of the gospel, on the wonderful fact that Jesus is alive, that whether we live or die, it is absent from the body if we die, but to remain in this world, well, the Lord will give us his grace and his peace. And so this is real, and it's personal, and it's something that you can enjoy right now in your heart as you pray for the ministry of God the Holy Spirit in your heart. Now, you're not robbing the Lord of his place and his position. You are receiving what the Lord promised to his believers. And you can take that to your heart and to your life. Now we move then to believers would have a better future because the Lord Jesus would go away and go to his Father. And what the Lord Jesus was doing here is he was asking his disciples to see things through his eyes. See things as he could see them. Look away from this scene of departure where they would lose their Lord and their teacher from their midst as he would go to the Father, but to comprehend what he would enter into as he left his disciples, ascended to the Father. Look at verse 28. He said to the disciples, I go away and come again unto you. Now the coming again is through the person of the Holy Spirit. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. And here the Lord is focusing on the blessedness of life with his Father. That life he left aside when he came into this world, and now it is time soon for him to return to his Father. And if these disciples loved the Lord Jesus, they would rejoice. Instead of being sorrowful, instead of being cast down, they would take great delight in the blessings that the Savior would enter into. Now, that brings us to that verse 8, where it also says, I go unto my the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And I want to take a moment just to revisit this. The Lord is not saying that the Father is greater in divinity or greater in his Godhood. He had priority in the Trinity. He is the first person of the Trinity. And that has to all to do with the economy of the covenant of grace and redemption. The Father sends the Son. The Son sends the Holy Spirit. But because they are distinct in office and task, does not mean that one has priority or greater in essence or nature than the other. And at that time, the Lord Jesus was facing his greatest humiliation. He was soon to be arrested, soon to be interrogated, condemned at Pilate's gate, led out to the cross at Calvary. But Jesus ascending to the Father would free him from all his life of humiliation on earth, and he would be received into the fullness of the Father's glory. And so here on earth, as mediator, as servant, as Savior, for a short time Jesus left the Father's glory, and he came down to his humiliation. Now, you can study this out sometimes in Philippians chapter 2, where you have that the one who thought it not robbery to be equal with God took upon him the form of a servant and came down all the way to the cross. And in that passage, Philippians 2, 6, there are seven steps from glory to the cross. And then there are also seven steps upward from the cross back to glory. It is beautifully presented in that passage. And the Lord Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you love me, you would rejoice that I go back to my Father. Now, let me just bring a little bit of application here. I mentioned that this is like a bed scene, a deathbed scene. Now, when we as Christians come to die, we need this grace to say to our sorrowing family, if ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I go to my Father. I'm going to leave this world of suffering. I'm going to leave the world of the curse. And I'm going to the Father, which is far better. And we can enter into God's glory for all eternity and rejoice in his wonderful presence. And so I'm thinking today of those who perhaps are sorrowing in bereavement. If your loved one is with Christ, if your loved one is with the Father, then rejoice. Do not sorrow as others who sorrow without hope, but take great delight in this wonderful truth of the gospel, that for the Christian it is to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, which is far better. If ye love me, ye would rejoice. And so let that sink into our hearts even today. Now, these disciples will have a better future. We're told here in verse 30 that Jesus will overcome Satan. Now, that would happen at the cross. Christ must die to defeat Satan. And there at the cross, the Lord Jesus wrestled against principalities and against powers. And he spoiled the devil. And he robbed him of souls. And by that mighty sacrifice at the cross, Jesus put away the works of the devil. And you're told here in verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh. There's the devil coming to become prince. He wants to rule and reign over souls. But at the cross, Jesus spoiled him, principalities and powers. And he purchased his people by the power of his blood. And we are saved by his marvelous power. And then lastly, in verse 31, you will see that we are better off because the world, the Lord Jesus, of his obedience. And you will see this final marvelous touch at the end of this chapter. But the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And you'll see how love is displayed by obedience. And by the obedience of the Lord Jesus, we are saved. And you'll see at the end of that, he says, arise, let us go hence. Now for the Lord, that was to go to the cross. That was to lay down his life as a sacrifice. And the Lord Jesus did that in the will of the Father, in obedience to his Father. And so by Christ going away, laying down his life at the cross, raising himself up, ascending to the Father, he was making things better. And I trust that today that you will rejoice in that truth. It is better. It's better to be a Christian. It's better to be going to heaven than even extending life here on earth. It is better to have this witness within us that the Holy Spirit is come. And we can truly say, Jesus walks with me and he talks with me all along life's way. May the Lord take this wonderful passage of his word, write it on your heart, and minister to you for many an hour and many a day out of the wonderful blessings that are laid out in this passage.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his helpless hand than to be
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church, and this is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Now, this truth of the Holy Spirit becoming the Comforter, the Helper who lives and abides in the heart of each believer, let this truth sink deep down into your heart. It is by meditating and praying for this blessing, this benefit of the gospel, of the living power of God the Holy Spirit dwelling in your heart, that you will enter into a deeper, closer walk with God. You will be an overcomer by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And how we each need reviving of soul. We can hardly pray for revival in our land if we're not praying for our reviving in our own soul. And we need to see this in the heart of each and every Christian in this land, to live the Christian life and to pray for God's power. Let us now pray and ask the Lord to give us His Spirit. Father, we thank Thee for the teaching of Thy Word, for the ministry of the Lord Jesus on that night before His arrest. We thank Thee that He promised the Holy Spirit's ministry in personal power and victory. And we know that the disciples enjoyed that when they waited on the Holy Ghost to descend and the Spirit of God fell at Pentecost. We also know, O Lord, that you have never withdrawn your Spirit from the world and will not until the day the trumpet sounds and you return in power and glory. And so we pray for this blessing, this personal infilling and indwelling of God the Holy Spirit, to revive our hearts and enable us to live the Christian life. We know, O Lord, at this time that many are suffering, many are lonely, many are mourning the loss of loved ones. We cry out, O God, for the ministry of your Spirit to each and every heart, to turn men, women, young people to enjoy that blessed experience of the living Christ living in hearts. I pray that you will lead and guide us in your service and take us on to be more useful in your kingdom. Bless families, bless homes, and bless the ministry of our church. How much we need thee in these times. We ask it all in the name of our precious, wonderful Lord Jesus. Now, if I can be of any help, make sure you give me a call. We're coming now to the announcements. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.